Well, if you assume, because the call volume is being so, a consolidated San Juan system would look just like Orcas, numbers-wise. It should.
It should, yeah, based on what the chiefs have
said. And you say, okay, so one station staffed 24/7 with whatever is a million and a half a year, roughly, or whatever that number was, just roughly. And that's what I think I heard. Stations on the mainland, actually.
Right, right.
It's well, a million and a half a year.
Yeah, and ours is right? About two.
About two. So, ours about is two.
So, yeah, so ours,
well, ours is currently, you know, high, but right. You know, we know that there's some things to do there, and you think.
But Orca's EMS fire is, if you look at that, is a little over two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're.
Yeah, they're close.
Two, three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here we see what they are.
Now the other thing you have to remember with the Orcas, I don't know.
What are they? 225, 2947
Yeah. So
the other thing that would be interesting to look is, they don't have an emergency room. They are they're doing after hours care probably right. More than they should be. They're acting almost as an after 20, you know, a urgent care center, and so that does change their numbers a little bit where they don't have a hospital to transport people to. I would be curious.
How does it change their numbers?
Well, maybe it doesn't change their numbers. They're probably actually seeing more, treating more patients in a certain fashion. I mean, be my guess.
Yeah, I would suspect that they have probably their time of contact is much longer than what the time of contact. That would be the biggest thing that I would see. Where here, they pick them up, they take them to the hospital, they drop them off. Whereas they pick them up there, and especially at night and weekends, their time, their length of contact, of patient contact, yes, is much longer.
That's a better way of saying it. That's
and related expenses, right? Medication.
And it could be. It could be, depending on what their administrative. The thing that is interesting, though, to me, is that East Sound is a much smaller town. So Orcas is probably much broader in scope from responses. 60% of the calls happen within 10 blocks of really the station here, okay? Much less whereas I think that because of land mass, they're probably their time of response, the time on call and so forth, there are some of the things I want to look at are probably actually longer in Orcas. And they're still being able to accomplish it with no greater personnel, their time on calls and so forth. Because here it amazes me that I hear this, wow, we get double calls and triple calls and so forth. They got 11 freaking 100 calls. What did somebody have, 79? Or how many ALSs a day?
Seven to nine
a day, you know, ALSs, and we're doing, you know. Right. So I listen to these numbers and I kind of go, okay, but.
I doubt that it's all that sensitive. The dollars probably are all that sensitive to the time on call.
No, they're not.
Think it makes
no.
I don't really think it matters.
No.
How long it takes to get there and how long it's been on stuff.
Right. Except that, George, if anybody wants to challenge Orcas, the reality is their time to calls, their time of patient contact is probably greater than what is here. And so there's no reason why, in reality,
we couldn't
manage under the same performa as what Orcas is managing.
I think, yeah, it's largely, you know, incidents of call and time of coverage.
Right, and dual calls and those kind of things. Yeah.
Regardless of how many times you leave the station.
And
it costs you just as much if you don't leave the station.
Right, but you know, one of the things I hear is, well, we go out on double calls. Now that's going to be a huge change,
yeah,
if your time on call and your time of patient contact is three times on Orcas than it is here, because you already now tied a paramedic up and an EMT, and you're dealing with them on a much longer healthcare situation. Whereas here, they come to the hospital, they're done.
Yeah. But if you're averaging one and a half a day or something.
Yeah.
The other thing here, the hospital here, this revenue is higher because we get the hospital to airport room charges.
Well, yeah, let's not even talk, let's not even go there on that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Because then I'm going to suggest that their call volume here is much less, because they actually are getting a double dip on the patient. They take it to the hospital, yeah, right. And then they grab it again, and they do it. So their call volume is probably, you know, and their calls are for 300, you know, for 30% of their calls, it's a 3-minute engagement.
Right. Well, and Orcus has a much quicker response time than we have here.
Well, let's not, you know, let's not bury the system.
No.
Anyways, I wanted to do a quick run on this just to give you guys some thinking. I'll try to clean this up within, say, then. I think we're meeting actually next week again, aren't we?
Well, it was late February, so, yeah. December 5th.
Yeah, so we are. Yeah, so I'll bring a jump drive for everybody next week.
Oh, okay.
With this, so you don't have to bring your computers, you can take it home, and you guys can start manipulating the numbers. I'll try to see what I can get and at least try to make some assembly of numbers. If I don't get the bars for the two organizations until you can get this, then you guys can start manipulating it and playing with it and see, and then you and I can get together to maybe kind of construct it into a presentation format with some graphs and so forth.
That's tremendous.
Good
That's
job.
Great.
That was, yeah. It's interesting.
It will be interesting to see that with all the budget detail.
That was a lot of work, Rick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, thanks. The chief, today I had to interject, the chief tried to, at the EMS meeting, present that they're very similar in their value perspective. And they are probably from a standpoint of, he was saying their revenues are very close, their operations are within points of each other.
You're talking about fire EMS, or what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the consolidated fire EMS in Orcus is very much equal to.
Similar to the, yeah.
Right, and what he doesn't appreciate is their operational costs, and he also doesn't appreciate that it's a very different bucket of dollars from a revenue side on the value of health of housing on Orcus as opposed to the value of housing here. Because he's saying, well, they're about 90 cents on the dollar consolidated, or a dollar, you know, consolidated, but they're really working on two different pools of money.
And after you left, Rick, you had a paramedic and an EMT all in a tizzy about what you said, and they were printing out the Orcus budget, and Karen had to explain to them that they were talking about two different things.
Yeah. Yeah, so
stir the pot.
Yeah, well, I'm not. What I actually wanted to do for the board was suggest that maybe you ought to make certain that you know the numbers before you go to where you need to go.
Seemed like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, because I didn't want him to start making these assumptions, because I didn't want to. Anyways, yeah, so it's... And I mean, the neat thing is that, well, go look at your budget, go look at Fire's approved budget, and go look at Orcus. I mean, I'm not making the numbers up. They're actually what?
I was given these numbers
from all you guys. Yeah. All righty.
Well, that'll be great to have, because it'll be nice to be able to digest this a little bit and really look at some of the detail. I think that's really great.
Okay. Very cool. If I'm on the right track for you guys.
Did... Orcus have a capital budget?
I know they did. Okay. Yeah, it's you know what? I didn't pull the capitals because all of them are skimming their cash.
Okay.
Yeah. Their cash flow from 18 to 19. Everybody's skimming their capital.
None of them have bonds or anything going on for that sort of thing. They have bonds for buying trucks.
No, it didn't look like there's any investment programs.
Okay, because that's the usual way the capital changes big time.
It looked like it was, you know, there's a lot of betting on grant-to-grant, which is...
I thought Fire had a bond for their trucks.
I just remember...
Fire does.
Actually, I didn't show you the capital ones, but in Fire it is. And it's for... it's for one of them. It might be vehicles.
I think it's vehicles.
It's not equipment, but it's vehicles.
Yeah, that's right.
And there wasn't one for EMS.
No, because they haven't done anything like that.
No, you're absolutely right. There is one for vehicles, because there's two capital line items. Yeah. One of them was a bond, just as George is suggesting.
And most of them are, and not just this fire, a lot of your fire service do rely on grants to replace SCBAs and all the other stuff. So.
And that's why I think there's some value of fire that's not demonstrated in the budget. That they have some extra either investments and that kind of stuff. I'm almost certain of it because I think that 450 is just cash in.
I think it is too.
So I'm going to talk with Bob.
Yeah, flesh that out a little bit because that would really help to see the numbers more comparable.
I will.
Thanks.
Yeah,
cool. I will. Good job.
Very good. All right, excellent. Next steps, any other outstanding issues or George, I'll huddle with you about getting together.
Yeah, we'll schedule another time.
And then I'll send out a note on the a reminder about the meeting on Friday, the phone call. And I should get a number. He said he had a teleconference line that we could use.
Okay.
So I can send out a number. Yeah, great. Other than that, I think our next meeting's December 5th.
Yep.
Should we start crafting some language around some of these issues? I mean, we're talking. We have all these ideas, but maybe start putting some stuff on paper.
I think we're ready to start doing that work.
Do we want to have a drafting committee to do that or something so that we don't have to do it in these meetings, which is never an issue?
Well, do we want to try to maybe potentially use each of our committees as a way to start framing up some of the issues? And that becomes sort of a framework to begin feeding into a document?
Sure. We need an outline of sorts.
Yeah.
I think.
Because I don't know, how much does the committees then miss and what are we going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I see the committees is just kind of helping fill in, but you're right. I mean, as far as building a master document and framing that document, maybe we do need to establish a drafting committee.
That's what we did with the freeholders when we wrote the charter, because you just can't, in that case we had 21 members too, so there's that. But you can't draft them in a meeting. You have to say, here's what we want in the document, hand it to a couple of people, we're going to go off and write it into the document, come back the next time and say, here's what we got for you. And if you did that, I think we'd have a report more quickly.
Yeah, no, I think that's
I recommend Nathan doing that.
I've decided to raise my
Wow, great meeting, everybody.
Really good. That's good. Good job. Out the
door. He'll bring it a white one. Here's what I got so far.
Step one, your administrative people are woefully unpaid.
Step two, find a new administrator.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm happy to be on the drafting committee to help start to frame.
It would be useful to see the process you guys have gone through. Someone could summarize all the people you've met with and stuff.
Yeah, I think we'd have to tap into some of your notes, Nathan, as we go forward and start to build a little bit of background.
Because it's interesting, this process you guys have gone through is interesting for its own sake, and it gives credibility to your findings, the people you've talked to and stuff.
Yeah, well, the whole body of work here is just background material for anybody who cares. To the extent that I have time, I'll help. But I don't know if I can get together with you and do it that way.
We'll have to do some dividing.
Email it back and forth. Something. I don't know how that would work. Yeah.
That works.
We can work it out.
If you guys have that Google Doc still.
We can do it that way. It's just that there's a process of here's what we're doing and who's going to do it and when's it going to be done by and all that makes it a little awkward.
Yeah.
Is there any other group that needs to be generated to bring this to completion? Are we missing anything? I mean, I know George's piece is pretty huge because that's really laying out the framework to get through a lot of the big issues.
Well, we do need to run it by lawyers and stuff. And so, what are we missing, if anything? Stuff we didn't pick up.
I mean, yeah. I think there's two things. Well, there's two, maybe three.
There's many things, probably.
Yeah, but there's probably, you know, there is the process, there is the decision, and then there is the accomplishment, in other words, our execution. So, you know, we as a group have to get to a decision. I mean, we have to either even figure what we are recommending and the process that we get there to buy, and then we're talking about execution on that. So we're drafting up kind of a frame to execute if I...
Yeah, and I think execution is many parts, including messaging, you know, the community needs to hear.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then the commissions and the council have to figure out what their roles are in the process, what they have to accomplish.
Yeah, or potentially the issue that was raised in one of your conversations, Mark, about in a process context, do we sort of suggest a 2x2x2 or some governance structure that immediately would be able to kick off and work between those elected bodies? And that may be a good thing for us to recommend as part of our process.
Yeah. I mean, even the board of the fire department is a 3-person board. Do we recommend a 5-person board? Do we recommend clinical side? Do we recommend them stating what their value and mission statement is to see that it's not just fire? I mean, you know, all those things that...
But you have to
you've got a lot of writing to do, Chuck. But, you know, I'm going to be right behind you. Go for it.
Have you ever seen my cartoon? That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Basically have to write the whys, and then you got to kind of write the how-tos.
Yeah.
And then,
What's it going to take to get to the decision?
What's it going to take for us to get to the decision?
Yes.
Okay, good question.
Yes.
Because we can decide what we're going to recommend, and they've got their own decisions.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
So those are two different things. Yeah. We just need to know the questions. I mean, I think we already put on the table a proposed merger, so to speak, and moving EMS into fire with a single levy makes sense. So we kind of came to that conclusion, I think, already. But the issues you were talking about most recently, we haven't talked about, like, a 5-member board and some other stuff that may be interesting to propose. They do muddy the water a little bit more because it means there's more to do, and you know that has to fit in the messaging that we're talking about to sell the whole concept. How far we want to go with changing things.
Right, and how far do we want to go in recommending it? I mean, recommending a framework for governance is one thing, but getting into a detail and saying this is what that governance structure should look like.
Well, I think it depends on how important we think it is. We're thinking that medical oversight, medical component is necessary to make sure that John Q. Public is getting the best service, then right. I think it is our obligation to recommend it.
Right.
So. You know, that's where I would go.
Right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the bottom line.
So that's the process, is we have to decide that it's important enough mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. reasons Mark just said, and then...
So when we did the whiteboard exercise, we came up with a series of 4 or 5 kind of pathways. Do we need to revisit that so we can get down to a more narrow frame pathway?
We kind of did that last time.
I thought we did that.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it something. What are you thinking, Rick? So
have we all agreed that...
I don't know if we all agree. We all have shared our opinions.
Right.
I agree that they were great opinions.
I agree that my opinion was great.
George, that's exactly where I'm going. Now I think we're done.
I see where you're going.
It's always nice to come here and finish up my evening with a committee that laughs.
We're having more fun than you are.
You certainly are.
I can be sure of that.
Between you guys and my wife's birthday next week, you know who's going to win. So.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for coming. And I want you to know that I have grown this, so I'm
No cards.
I like cards. Oh. Do you guys? I guess they don't have anything. So anyway, I'm just, are we committed to the direction that we're going to, or close enough that we can start to assemble a document?
Well, I think what we should do is postulate where we think we are going, and one of us anyway articulate it, and then we can agree or not agree that that's what we're all on board with. Mm-hmm. So, state what I was assuming we'd agreed to already was annexing the town and moving EMS into the fire district with an increased fire district levy and not a separate EMS levy, basically. Without fleshing it out any further than that, just basic. That's what I thought we were doing. Which means we abandon the current EMS levy, fire district takes on EMS and increases their levy by the same amount.
Okay.
With the town merged into the fire district. Or actually, coincident in all respects, outer islands that are not in the fire district, not in, you know, in the new picture.
There was an issue, Dan, that you brought up last week when we were discussing this, which is about ensuring liabilities that have been encumbered stay with the organizations that encumbered them, I think, was kind of the framework.
You can do that through an interlocal agreement. You can list out what liabilities stay where.
Right.
It's a legal question, but I mean, there, you know, some of that is built into insurance coverage and stuff. Mm-hmm. Nose and tail stuff.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of fine details, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if EMS would have to hold a six-year tail insurance for docs.
I don't know.
I don't know
what the duration is, but there's
six or eight. I forget.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd have to carry a separate tail insurance like physicians do. Or
But you're right, Mark. It could be dealt with within the context.
Legal.
Yeah.
Now, have we asked the question? Do we know the answer of the building? The building's owned by the hospital district, correct?
Yeah. They have a bond on it.
It's they've got a bond in the hospital.
I don't know what the number is now that they paid. I assume
830 is what they came away with.
That's the net of the sale of the old building.
Yeah, so the 1.9 was decreased by that 1.8.
So there's no question there's a sale value that could exceed what the value of ownership is and where the hospital would then want to determine what they were if the fire department absolutely chose not to go that direction. So let me ask the question, why not keep it just as it is? I'm only asking it to get a reasonable answer. If we're so taking George's stated position, why not keep it as simple a process and just leave it as it is? Why are we making this recommendation? What do we see that's driving us this pathway?
Well, based on our experience with what we saw on Orcas, it seems more efficient. What we're hearing from the mainland is the direction the world is going is to consolidate under fire. We think that there's more efficiency there, and your numbers suggest that there are.
I think there's also, we've heard it from a couple of people too, is this issue about sustainability of services in the long run. So it's you know, this idea really about trying to provide the highest level of care we can and doing so with the reality that, you know, having two separate operations just isn't functional. I mean, it's just not financially functional. Operationally, we can achieve some financial benefits, some operational benefits, and long-term sustainability.
Is there anything we see in this combination that's going to drive our thoughts that we're going to get a higher level of outcome?
I would say yes, because right now fire does not have 24/7 coverage. They have a duty officer.
Yeah.
All the rigs only roll after somebody drives from their home to the station, gets in a rig, and then rolls. If you model it or have it set up similar to what Orcas has, you have a response.
You have better response times.
Because you have
that's
fire
on the fire side, which is an interesting thought.
Yeah. Which is absolutely
your fire. Yeah. Your fire response is beefed up. I conceptually, having the paramedic firefighter and EMT firefighter housed in the station and rolling from the station, actually provides, just based on the call volume, better service to the customers in town, because that's where 60% of the calls are. I think, from my opinion, the increased training between fire and EMS personnel benefits the consumer in ways that most consumers don't even realize. We rarely, right now, train together for car wreck scenes. Yet we respond together on car wreck scenes.
So,
you're improving service delivery. That's why I would be doing it.
Out of the gate.
And right.
What I'm hearing is that I think we found a good individual to kind of document that, at least start off.
Who's that?
We're looking for a volunteer here, Mark.
Absolutely. Honestly, I didn't even think of it on that side of the house. So, good job. Good job, but I think we need to start to put those things down just to visit them in the next couple weeks to really absolutely be assured that it is, and because that's a lot of the message.
Maybe it actually should be an agenda item for our next meeting that we can brainstorm a little bit of the pros and cons.
Yeah, just to get to the decision, that the decision was made on December the 5th based on all of these things, and we should probably get them out bulleted.
And there is a kind of a subtext, too, around hospital districts managing and just the hospital districts not too distant past dysfunction at the board level that caused, I think, some lack of oversight, possibly, the lack of governance of the EMS system that we have that let it get into some trouble that it shouldn't have if they were paying better attention, but they were instead too busy shooting bows and arrows at each other.
That's not still there. So
I think it's easier to talk about this with Warren out of the room, although Nathan, I'm sure, will hear this and has seen it happen in real life.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I've avoided most of that because it's ugly. But that I think was the cause of Karen having to run and get involved, I guess, with the continuing levy problems of getting a continuing. You can't pass stuff when things look like it's a mess. It looked like a hot mess.
Or when the electeds aren't trusted.
And all of that is part of the, and so I think part of that is, let's get EMS stabilized in a place which seems stable, rather than the place which allowed this to happen.
And that was going to be a question of mine as well.
And that's a tough message to draft.
When do we say this comes together? Does it come together after EMS? Because EMS, I'll be honest with you guys, and I've looked at their budget solidly since 2014. They've never been financially in trouble.
Yeah.
They've been mismanaged, but they've never been financially
in
trouble.
And I think part of that is the mismanagement and misgoverned, actually, as well.
They really got themselves sideways when they got into air medicine. And the reason that they did is just because, for two things. One is they never appreciated what air medicine drives to their cash flow. It goes in, it goes out, but it's a huge number. You're talking about, $1,500 bills versus $20,000 bills. It doesn't take long to really spend a lot of money and not. And then they weren't treating their partner fairly. So when all of that is now out of the gate and gone, their business decision-making was still, and is, to some degree is still there. That's what got them into trouble. But they've never been financially in trouble. They could, as you can see, if they had the money that Orcas had doing what it's doing, they would probably be booking $200,000 or $300,000 a year if they managed it properly.
Yeah.
So I think this has never been a financial issue. So where was I going with it? I wanted to ask the question about EMS.
It gets back to addressing the governance issue.
I raised it as an issue from the board level, but you're right, it's really a management issue, too.
They
concurrently.
They didn't have management that they should have had doing the things they should have been doing. Part of that is a lack of really close governance from the top, there's that. They get better, perhaps, if they were in the fire district, but either way, they just need to be better at it. We've got a new chief, hopefully better governance. I would think that there's a message you could craft around that as being more an opportunity for efficiency as well, and better delivery of service, yada, yada, yada. And Nick's right, there's a trust question that's going on when it's in the hospital district. You know, even employees of the EMS system were having trouble believing what was going on, which says that there's a problem. And so that cleaning up that is going to take some time. It's going to take the new chief, it's going to take...
With what we, and I apologize just for asking these questions, with what we think we have now with going through what we've gone through, what do we think a realistic timeline is for us to manage through this process?
That's a really good question.
I mean, our process is...
Yeah, when do we deliver
it was,
something to...
It was asked, it was kind of asked today, not directly, but it's like, in fact, Nathan answered, you know, envisioned a couple months, which would have been the same answer I would have given as well. But I'm curious as what we all think we're going to drive, because people are starting to, they're making decisions and they're starting to go, what's going to come out of that?
I would like to set a goal of having this complete in January.
I think that's optimistic. I'll be honest.
I think it is.
I think it is, because December is not always a full month for everybody. But yes,
but I would like us to, maybe the end of January, I'd like us to put emphasis on getting this done. This bring to completion, to get this going.
I'm thinking it's going to be the end of first quarter. I mean, if we really get done by March 31st, I think we're going to be phenomenally good. If we really flush out everything that we need to flush out, and do everything we need to do, organize it, be able to... almost handed over as a package that if you follow this roadmap, this is where you would go in the decision.
This is what we recommend, and here's how you do it.
Yeah.
It seems like a reasonable thing to deliver.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that March 31.
Yeah, I don't see it happening in January either. I'd like to think we could do it by the end of February, but I'm not sure even that's reasonable. But, you know, that's my sense is it's February.
I said this at an earlier meeting, and I'll repeat it, supporting the March idea. I think if you guys don't give both of those elected bodies a detailed roadmap,
I agree.
This will never pass, and all the time you spent will be wasted.
Yeah, I fully agree. We should do it right and not try to do it in haste and leave stuff out and end up with something that they don't get and can't agree on.
But if we target March 31st and, you know, we're getting through January, we may have to have meetings every week to get to where we need to do our least product. And I think it's realistic to ask that, but it just sets us all, I think, for, you know, some place of where we need to be. Yeah. And we can also maybe start to let them appreciate, because I've got to think somebody's going to start asking soon.
Oh, there are multiple people are asking.
Yeah.
Board Health asked me today.
Well, there you go.
And I said...
Just out of curiosity, or what?
What'd you say?
I gave the response that Dan gave. I was hoping the end of January, because I, you know, it's...
Because you'd like to get your life back, but I think the reality is if we were going to do it by end of January or even end of February, we'd have to be meeting every week or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened. And if you want to do that, you know, then we, you know, Nathan and everybody willing, we could talk about it. I don't think it happens to where you're going.
And I'd like to be realistic. And if we pick a date, I'd like to be able to commit to it. And I'd like to say that we've given it thorough. And so I'd like, my preference would be to shoot in the first quarter and say, you know what, we believe it's realistic and we're going to make that date. And if we come out in February, we look like heroes, you know, in reality.
Excuse me.
And depending on how fast they want to act at the board levels, it could go relatively quickly after that when they decide, okay, we agree. Because there's a couple of things they can do on ballots, but they can be in special elections. They can do them, you know, they have to all happen at the general and November.
When you guys did this before here, I mean, I would think, though, in starting in March, we're presenting it to the boards quietly. To, you know, the chair is probably where we're going, so they don't get blindsided when we come out with something. Is that reasonable, or do we just say, here's your document, and it's opened up to anybody? I mean, I'd like to get a little bit of their input, because your thoughts of, geez, it enhances fire, But what I've heard fire say is, well, we can't house it here because our building's not big enough, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. And so are we all of a sudden recommending something that
they don't want to do.
Just a non-starter? Yeah. Yeah. That's a non-starter.
Reasonable question to ask, can't really answer. So you're right, maybe we should talk to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of exploring it at some point with the chairs of each of those bodies and having at least
the problem is that you get different answers from different
guys. Yes. Yeah, that's
so
true.
You could explore it with Bob and get one true. Answer, but if you explore it with Albert, you might get a different answer. I don't know.
Right.
What do you,
Right.
I think it's the chair's responsibility to know what the board is. Yeah. But if we start giving them at least the frame of the direction we're going, they could say, or they could say,
or we can deal with that.
Yeah.
If they're willing to say, yes, to do this, we would make that happen. Okay. You know, that's all I need to hear. All right.
That should probably be done maybe a little sooner than later.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to put a whole bunch of time and energy with a complete packet if we know one board is already saying,
yeah,
we really don't give a crap what you give us. We're not going there.
Yeah, well, and you know what, I like that idea as well. So
maybe we should start communicating that.
Maybe it's true. Maybe we do our next meeting to give all the pros and cons like George suggested, making certain that our decision and we've flushed all the reasonings. So when we sit down with these guys, we can actually give them responses as to why we're coming up and doing what we're thinking of doing. And then maybe...
And ensure that we have a unified view of
as our group going forward, where we're going. And then sitting down with them and flushing the concept before they say, here.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. There's a big body of water, go swim. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably reasonable to try to set up.
Yeah, and you know, just
that was the advice I heard from the other folks. If they're not all on board, there's no sense doing even talking about it. I mean,
yeah, although for argument's sake, I mean, and I don't disagree, a document that becomes a public document outside of whether specific elected officials feel that it's in their best interest or not may not always be in the public's interest. So,
no, I understand that.
Yeah,
but then it limits how much detail you put into it.
Yes, that's true.
And or at that point we can say, you know what, we don't really want to, we're not concerned about what you two guys think.
Mm-hmm.
We really think that we need to present this. We were charged with looking at this, and then this is for a broader whole. And then, you know, the other side of it is that there's what, six of the eight board members are changing in, at that point, it's going to be 10, 11 months. And so, you know, the new boards that are going to be coming in may want to absolutely run on the document.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, but at least...
But you're right, level of detail.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. If it's not a starter, they don't want to hear from us. We're pretty much done.
Yeah.
Hey, we're done by January.
Yeah, we can make the January deadline if they don't want you to do anything.
That's true. We could join the bowling league.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the question is how you would mechanically do that sort of meeting.
Yeah. Especially
the
to have a
player
and to have a frank conversation.
The board chairs and the you know, mayor and town manager or something in one room and do it once and say, what do you think? Or here's where we're going, or
usually
because doing it sequentially, individually would be better. But I just can't imagine how we'd have time to do everybody that you want to do there.
Yeah, unless we did a divide and conquer.
Well, each of us could do it individually. Then you've got you've got separate input from
different people
on different ears. That's not going to be consistent. I don't think Dick has.
You could also take a non-quorum from each body and combine them so you hit multiple people at a time, but nobody's got a quorum.
Well, yeah,
so
no, that's why I suggested if you pull a board chair from each board and...
I'm not even chair, all members, is what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, you can't pull two from the fire district.
No.
Yeah.
But you could pull two from the hospital district.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Tell the board chair and somebody else maybe from the hospital district.
And another thing I would keep in mind, I go to almost all the hospital commission meetings. I go to some of the fire commission meetings.
Uh-huh.
You guys know right now, just in terms of sentiment on this issue, you've got a 2-1 fire commission.
Yes.
Hospital commission, you've got a 3-2 commission on everything.
Right.
So, just talking to the chairs doesn't necessarily.
So we need to talk to a representative of the majority, is that what you said?
Well, it doesn't necessarily give you the feedback that you want.
Yes, that's true.
It doesn't, but it's, in my estimation, it's the obligation of the chairs to get the proper feedback, whether they want to or not. I appreciate it.
And what world is that you're losing?
Yeah, no, well, but...
This would be the ideal, yes.
That's the way it's supposed to, that's the way it's supposed to work.
It's supposed to work that way.
That's supposed to work. It more,
that's how Congress works. Yeah.
I guess I'm looking at it more from why it won't work. Because what Mark, it really keyed in on what Mark said when he said, well, you know, we'll have fire staff available there 24/7 as well. And there's been this issue of, well, but the building's not appropriate to do it. So flushing all of those things, because again, I believe no matter whether they want to go forward or not, I still think the effort of the group ought to be presented to the public. I think if you're trying to enhance public safety.
I agree.
No, you're right.
Somebody's going to be reelected.
We probably should go through it.
They may have started the ball, but you know what? It's going to end up somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you start a ball. It may not be your ball.
Yeah, it may not roll in the direction you want it to roll.
So, anyway, I guess the next meeting we should figure out how we're going to actually present this preliminary sort of discussion.
No, I agree.
With whom.
Makes sense.
And when and where and how.
Yeah.
Because that's not as obvious as...
No, it's not.
Because it isn't true that the chair will just take care of it.
Well, no.
It's not going to happen.
Well, thanks, guys.
Excellent.
I
thank
know
you.
That took longer. But
no,
I,
that was
I,
good.
Just worth doing.
Yep. Excellent. I think we're adjourned.
Well, Rick seems.
Yeah. Well, no, I apologize. I'm just cleaning up because you guys could have been gone and I just don't want to clean it up.
No, you're right. You'll be here for an extra half hour.
Yeah, so I'm all done now. I can sit out. But
no. Okay, so we're, as an agenda for the next meeting.